Now while I, as your teacher, would counsel you as my student again to study for yourself the effect of the ductless glands upon your human body, we will pursue the subject just so far as is necessary to convince us that the process of thought and the action of the glandular system are so interlocked as to be of the same root, to produce the same flower of health or the reverse. Now the genitals are the master glands. All glands, we have seen, are interrelated. But what are called the sex glands are the strongest of all, and no man or woman can expect to enjoy life to the full whose genitals are weak, depleted, or exhausted. Much impotence in both sexes is due to overindulgence or abuse, and then comes exhaustion. Repression is also a very active cause, as you must well know. It is apparent that any secretions in any of the endocrines ought to be used. Non-use brings atrophy. Now beware of what I am saying. Do not misinterpret what I am saying. If the secretions are not used, they will either overflow or strain the delicate tissues holding them, resulting in discomfort, pain, lack of balance, and eventual complete disorganization. I repeat, do not misinterpret the words that I am using. When you come to the most glorious knowledge of transmutation, then you will understand. I think that at the present time, it is too much to hope that you can understand even what I am saying, much less the inner meaning, the hidden meaning of the words that I use. But I will say this, those who may be troubled with doubts as to the real meaning of their sexual force and power should be very wary. I assure you that later on you will learn the true, even mechanical and physical, secrets, the secret exercises for transmutation, true regeneration. But before we can understand regeneration, we must know all about scientific generation. Now we know that when the mammary glands are charged with milk unduly, there is discomfort. It is the same with all glands, though less obvious. Several of the glands expel their secretions to the surface, as, for instance, the salivary glands. The minor gland also expels fluids, some of which are not even yet determined by modern science. And then you can see how the secretions of many of the glands act merely as lubrication. Not all the secretions from the sex glands are directed towards procreation, nor are the sex glands inactive unless under sexual activity. These invaluable secretions are taken up in the blood. Now you have but to think a moment to realize how important the sex organs are in the continuance of the race. The organs of generation are those sacred channels through which the creative spirit propels the generative life stream. The race, from generation to generation, is carried over through these glands. The world has endured for a very long time, probably millions of years. Think then, how many people it has taken to place you where you are as you now listen to me speaking these words. Is there any wonder that we are complex beings when we realize that all of these people have added their contribution to the sum total of ourselves today? That, however, is the tradition of the race. It is from that tradition of the race that we have to break to change the flow of the light stream from propagating the race to maintain our perpetual existence. Now, what of our heredity? Now, this contribution to our present makeup is spoken of as heredity. Back of these millions of people, rather, within these millions of people, the creative spirit has been embodied all the time. The individual only transmutes and transmits those traits that he takes to himself. He cannot transmute that which is not in him. He has made them his own. We can see then that each of those millions of people who have contributed to put us physically where we are have added to us their ideas. But when we remember the working of the subconscious mind of the race, we know that we have been subject to many millions more. Our contemporaries and our friends, not to mention those who have, as we say, gone before us, those who have passed on. Now this in the aggregate is the race thought, a tradition, as I have said, from which we have to break. Think of the superstitions of the race to which we are unconsciously subject. Our ancestors would not have consented to the telephone, the telegraph, the airplane, the movies, television. They would have denied it. They would have denied it just as we are all denying today our spiritual heritage. When Wheatstone invented the telegraph, he broke away from tradition, did he not? He broke away from the race mind. When Lindbergh, a man still living, alone, and allowing nothing to disturb his confidence that he could do it, though no other men or man had flown solo across the Atlantic, he broke away from the race mind. Now, my beloved, though less spectacular from a public point of view, you are doing likewise. You are breaking away from the race mind that thought itself subject to decay and death and old age and other bogeys. The stronger the imagination, the quicker and better the results. Now, is it true? Are you breaking away from the race mind that thought itself subject to decay and death and old age and other bogeys? I trust that you are. Now let us get back again. There is a school which teaches that the creative fluid, the seminal fluid, contains a power that transcends any other power in the body or the mind. Now you would do well to familiarize yourself with this. It is taught that if the student will concentrate his mind upon the sex organs, the fluids secreted will enter the bloodstream and be created into mental power. This is a high occult study. When you be worthy, as time goes on, You will be introduced this and to very definite exercises that will enable you to be the master of it. But it is a very high occult study, which we cannot deal with in these early lessons. But as I infer, will be brought to you after worthiness to have it revealed has been established between you as a student and me as your teacher. But our great point at the present moment is that we are getting away from tradition. That we know that the imagination is our most important tool by which we may carve our way into safety. That we are and have everything necessary to enable us to reach complete mastery, and we are learning how to do it. What we want to say with all the strength of our spirit is that I will refuse to be directed by the race. I, the creative spirit embodied, refuse to be under the control of the race mind, which will build into me, without my knowledge, all the attributes which end in failure, disappointment, decay, disease, death. No, 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 I will not. My beloved, let us look at it in this way. Let us feel that we are like infants. We are setting out to build our lives anew. The infant is like a new book without any writing in it. The infant brings no ideas, no conscious ideas with it. Ideation cannot start until the mind begins to operate. The first writing put into the book are, of course, the first ideas. The first ideas, sensations, come from the parents. Now there are two kinds of ideas. Ideas true to nature and ideas false to nature. In other words, good and evil. Let us be the authors of this new book of life of ours. Let us keep it sacred. We will do the writing, otherwise the thinking. For as we think we know, so we are. Now I take it that all of you who have come to this lesson will with all your minds declare that you have the power and the ability to live as long as you desire, to do whatever you wish to do, to be whatever you wish to be. Then, learning this, we shall fulfill the cosmic plan in our lives. You believe it. Now it is for you to realize it. You have so far compared the living organism with the automobile that is carefully constructed of the finest steel, mechanically perfect, operating smoothly, all parts functioning in harmony one with another. Then we compared this with the body, and we asked you to think of this wonderful automobile equipped with the power to keep itself in that condition. We are like the automobile, but infinitely more harmonious in our working. But, unlike the automobile, we have inherent, automatic, practically unlimited powers of self-starting, self-building, self-operating, self-adjusting, self-repairing, self-renovating, self-generating, self-renewing, and self-governing. Now, just think what a machine we are, even physically. Then, imagine if there were an automobile like this, why it would be impossible for such a machine to grow old, wear out, decay, and fall to ruin. In other words, to die. Utterly impossible. It is impossible for us if we obey the law. Now, I say therefore, you should constantly be held in the feeling as if the God within you is declaring this throughout the universe for you. I will refuse to decay. I will live, for I am learning the law of life in which I live. Let none think that I am emphasizing too much the physical. My beloved, we shall understand the spiritual as we grow in knowledge and control of the physical. We understand the ocean by microscopic examination of the single drop of water. We understand the macrocosm by understanding the microcosm. We understand nature through understanding man. We understand life through understanding the operation and the result of its manifestation. I understand God through understanding myself. In the work that you will now soon enter upon, you will be led on and on as far as you are evolutionarily able to go, and the result is sure. My beloved, my time is gone. For this coming triumphant week, peace be in your hearts today and all the coming days. We give thanks. We give thanks. We give thanks.